Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Influential She, our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp. And we are so excited today to be in the Washington, D.C. area. And we're with Samantha Essen. And so welcome, Samantha. First of all, I love your name. It's beautiful. Plus, we're just really thankful to be in your home today. Thank you for being so gracious and being with us today. Samantha is the first ever Chief Development Officer for the Council of Chief State School Officers. And prior to joining CCSSO, Samantha led in fundraising, marketing, and programmatic efforts at multiple nonprofits. With her incredible experience and background, we are focusing today on the high leverage practice of leveraging self, which encompasses being completely who you are and living out your values. So Samantha, we have just, we were able to visit with you prior, and I think that that really inspired us to think really clearly on which high leverage practice we wanted to focus on, in that in leveraging yourself is the practice. But you have really been able to articulate well your value system that was embedded within the background and where you grew up and how you grew up. That is really quite unlike what a lot of people who have achieved what you have at a young age and where you've been able to build your influence as a result of that. But if you could for us, because you gave us that story, but could you go back to your beginnings and sort of your roots and how it's really made you and the important women. I remember you telling us a story about these amazing women in your life who have really influenced you throughout. So let's recreate that story a little bit. We might interrupt you with some thoughts and questions in between, but would love to hear more about that background.
Thanks. So as I said before, when we first spoke, every day for me, I always think like I'm not supposed to be here. I was born in my great grandmother's house. My mother was a young woman from Jamaica. We had very limited resources. In fact, our home, we still have the house now. It's something like 3 hours away from a major city in Jamaica. And so it's really funny. I feel like my entry into the world is much like the way I behave now. My mom says I'm always depending on her mood. Either it's a good, if it's a good thing, she's like, that's why you came so fast. She just couldn't wait to influence us. And if it's not so good, she's like, that's why you came so fast. You need to learn to slow down.
Love that. Story works both ways.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So. Depending her mood. So when she started to feel labor pain, she sent my 16-year-old uncle to go find someone with a car, pitch dark in the mountains of Jamaica. And my uncle said he came back and there was a baby. And just growing up in Jamaica, I was there for about 5 years of my life. And my mom, she always wanted more for us. And so she pushed really hard to take us out of Jamaica, not because poverty is a bad thing, but she really wanted to give us an opportunity to find our own and to make a life for ourselves and not be limited by our environment. So when she had the opportunity, she brought us to the U.S. And when we came to the U.S., much like most immigrants, my aunts and my grandma, all of us were there and we were growing up together. And for my mom, it was really important that she instilled in her daughters a lot of self-love. She never once told me I couldn't do something, Like my whole life growing up, I'd say, Mom, I wanted this or I wanted that. And she'd always tell me, well, how much work are you willing to put in to get there? Because for her, I don't know what it is that drove her to believe this, but she just never thought her kids could not be something special. She just saw something in us that made me work harder and make me want to be proud of her. I was never the child that got in trouble for like doing something bad. I was always the child that was like asking questions and challenging folks. And she nurtured that quite a bit in me. And I think that's why I've been able to be where I am now today, because I've been able to take some of those learnings of it's okay to ask questions and to be pushed and challenged.
You talked about, too, there was other really strong women. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that was, you were surrounded by these amazing, strong women in your life.
Yeah, my grandma always told me, be bold. She was amazing. I still miss her to this day. She passed about 5 years ago. And it was one of the hardest things in my life as well as her kids' life, because she was truly the matriarch. She held our family together. She had a total of 14 grandkids. One was a boy.
Oh, that is a lot of female power.
Yes. And so it was really fun, too, because there was so many women in the family. We were always so supportive of each other. And my older sister and myself in particular, we had to set the example. And so my grandma was always pushing us, you know, to try harder, to think smarter, to really excel beyond what you think you could do to what you're really capable of. And those are really different things, right? So, you know, you may want a B, but you're capable of an A. So strive for that. It's not about just passing. It's about accelerating. And my grandma, she worked really hard. She worked three jobs. My life with my grandma, I saw her constantly working really hard. And she worked hard because she wanted us to not have to work that hard. So she was always telling us, you know, even though I don't get a chance to spend as much time with you, I'm trying to provide a different life for you. I want you to go to school. You have to go to school. You don't have a choice. You have to go to school, because if you don't, there aren't very many other opportunities for you to be successful. And when we were kids, we would look at like different things like cars and like people with this like fancy life, and always talk to my grandma about it. And she was like, it's going to be your turn one of these days, but you have to work for it. It will not come on its own. You must work for it. And that doesn't just mean getting a job. You have to get educated. And what was really cool was, in the same sense that she was pushing her grandchildren, she was doing the same for her kids. So my mom, when she came to America, she got an education. She got her bachelor's degree, went into the medical world. My aunts, all of them graduated. They all have, you know, really successful careers. And so we just saw that happening across the family, and we're constantly celebrating each other and really being supportive of each other, too, you know. As women, I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget about ourselves and just want to nurture others. And that's something that my family tried to like stop with my generation. My mom would always push for me to be aware of myself, to think about myself. If there was two pieces of something left, she'd want you to share. But if there was one piece, you have to consider yourself too. You don't give it all away. You may be split half. So she would always say, take some and leave some, right? Those were just things that growing up really stuck in my life. And I think, you know, as I think about myself professionally in my career, it's one of the things that when I feel like I'm being mistreated or I'm not given that fair chance, I know that my voice is important because I was told so at such a young age. And then I know that I'm deserving just like anyone else. And so I'm willing to ask, and I'm willing to say, hey, it's my turn.
So, you know, that's amazing, that embedded confidence by people just telling you this is a value that we believe in and we want to translate it to you. What do you think for other women that maybe, you know, and I don't want to say all women, broad stroke, but, you know, for those that were not nurtured to really understand that sense of self like you have at a young age, because you had women that were telling you, this is who you are. This is what we believe in. This is where we come from. This is what we expect of you. Here's how we want you to take about be bold and to work hard and to do those things and to say, I have a right within myself too. What would you say to other women that are trying to uncover that for themselves that maybe didn't have that strong background that you had?
Well, I think my biggest recommendation is take the time you need to learn yourself. I think a lot of times we're just busy in the inertia of life and rushing and moving and all of these things, and we don't invest that time to really learn ourselves. And that just could be, you know, reading really good books or sharing yourself and being a little bit vulnerable with someone you can trust, and really explore, like, what is inside of you? Like, what drives you? You know, a lot of folks don't know this about me, but I'm actually an introvert. I call myself an introverted extrovert, right? So I think that it's really important that you take time, dig in, learn about yourself. And then once you feel like you have a good grasp of who you are, try to find ways to nurture it. You know, if that means that every now and again, you kind of like close the door, tell the family to leave you alone, give you 15 minutes, or, you know, you eat that piece of chocolate you want or go for the jog that you need, whatever it is, just try to find that way to nurture yourself.
You know, and you're really talking about that value of knowing yourself so well. You know, we talk about people would be surprised that I'm an introvert. My husband's a lot like that, that, you know, too much people time. He's like, I got to have some alone time. So you know that for yourself, that you have to withdraw to refuel.
Yes.
And that that is an important thing, because if you kept going, I'm assuming then you just get more and more away from the truth of you.
Yeah. And you know, how I learned was everyone always called me an extrovert, right? Because people would like to put values on you based on what they think they know about you. And I knew personally that that didn't make sense, because something within me said, I actually really like my Samantha time. Right? Like, no, I love being around people, and I'm not a shy person, but that's not the whole me. That doesn't really give me the energy. I think there's something else. And so I actually learned and I read and I realized there's more than just introvert. And I said, okay. So I can be an extrovert and an introvert at the same time. Now that makes sense. And I started telling folks this too, which was also empowering. Because I think sometimes people, as I said before, like to put their own thoughts on you and want you to accept their vision for who you are. And I think it's important to be vocal and let people know, like, no, that's not who I am. And it's okay, you know, but I want you to know who I actually am, because it's going to help us to interact even better. So if you see me, like I used to have a boss where we first started interacting, like every now and again, he'd see me in a meeting and I'd look like very serious. And he's like, you know, I just want to talk with you. You know, is everything okay? I'm like, I'm sorry. That's just how I look when I'm thinking. I can't have a smile on my face all the time. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I was worried. And I was like, I can't always be bubbly, happy Samantha to please others. So if I look serious, it's because I'm thinking. There's nothing behind that. And I think it's important to be able to say that vocally to people sometimes.
You know, I think about when I was growing up. Well, throughout my entire professional career, I would always get feedback that, you know, you're just a little too much, or you're a little. But the bottom line is, my really true authentic self is I've got a fair amount of sass. And I would just say, hey, you know what? In grade school, every year, a C in conduct. Like, I've sort of always been this way. This is part of who I am as a true and authentic person. Now, I don't want it to end up being in your way in how you might do your work, but this kind of freewheeling, you know, sort of on the edge is just really who I am. And it's what gives me joy because it's just a part of the authentic Deb.
And, you know, we talk about in our high leverage practice about when you're truly your authentic self, you're just relaxed in your own skin. And I think where Deb said she's found that, and you obviously did, I'm not sure that I did. I think I was always living out everybody else's expectations. So when I hear you talk about that, it's something I'm in admiration of, because I spent a lot of time filling out others' expectations, whether it was personally or professionally, particularly professionally. And I think that that's where we got to this point where I would watch myself in my professional career, where I knew that the expectations were that I had to be a certain way in
look
what,
a certain
yes,
way,
look yeah. a certain way, act, do whatever. What you have articulated so well It took me a long time to find out that that authentic self, this is when I'm really happy. I'm at this point in my career and life, this is when I'm the best me because I'm relaxed with who I was. I didn't find that early on. And so I find that really fascinating that you were able to really find that mojo and be relaxed in that and be able to articulate to people, hey, I'm an introvert, but I'm an extrovert. I'm an introvert. I'm a huge introvert. I don't get the energy from being around other people. So, you know, how you found that early on, it's very fascinating to me that you were able to do that and really find that space where your influence is found in knowing who you are in your skin. And so you really have, do you think that was as a result of these people in your life who
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as I said before, I was always encouraged to ask questions and to challenge the status quo, so to say, sometimes in a good way, sometimes not so good. And so, you know, when people put labels on me, I like to investigate. One of the labels I hear quite often is you're a strong woman or you've got a strong personality. And I'm always, the first time it happened to me, a male counterpart said it to me and I was taken back and I actually didn't challenge him at the time. I went home and did what I normally do on my commute in. I called my mom and I was like, Mom, someone said this to me and I don't think it was a compliment. And I shared with her the entire, I set up, you know, the whole scene and how it came out. And she asked me, she said, why do you feel it wasn't a compliment? And I said, it felt very much like he was telling me that I needed to stay in my role or to behave. It didn't come out as you're a strong woman, you go girl. It was more like you have a strong personality and sometimes people can be intimidated by that.
Like, would you tamp that down, please? Yeah.
Like that whole like finger wagging moment. Yeah. But it was in, you know, the traditional like politically savvy way that you tell people that you need to behave and do be what I need you to be and not who you are. And I just said, you know, I don't think I like when people say that. And she told me next time someone says something like that to you, I really want you to dig in and ask them, what are they saying? What are they trying to achieve from that? And so I was like, okay, if that ever happens again. And true enough, I've had some women say it to me. I remember the time in which I asked a woman when she said it to me, you know, why do you think I have a strong personality? I feel like my personality is the same as everyone else. It's no bigger or weaker. And she was taken back. She couldn't really give me a solid reason or an answer. Instead, she just kind of said, well, people have said it to me as well. And I was just like, okay, so is it good or bad? Because I don't know what sort of direction you're giving me. Should I continue to be strong or should I be weak? What is it that you'd like? And it was, the conversation kind of went into more of like, well, it's your, you know, the way in which you interact with folks and all those things. And I'm like, so it's not my personality we're talking about here. You're really saying something about another thing. And I'm like, it's okay to just go down that path, but you don't have to, you know, talk about my personality or kind of create this unnecessary character around me that's not there. Communication is different than my personality.
So you've just given an amazing bit of advice to anyone who might be listening of just how to reframe it in that understanding question so that you don't end up holding in, like, what does that mean? And trying to figure that out, but you're confronting it in a good way, in a positive way, so that you can understand what's our relationship. What are we talking about here? And do you want authentic me to show up? And Melody gives me way more credit when I say that example of, you know, knowing that I have a bit of sass. There was many times for long periods of time that was tamped way down because I felt like authentic Deb couldn't show up and be accepted. And I started to spin into this place that was really unsatisfying at the soul level for me in how I wanted to live my life and do my work. And so, you know, I think we all go through this at different times. It's one of the things we want to talk to women about. Like, how do you stay you?
Yeah.
Or think about the, you know, the number of times when I think I reshaped sort of what I really believed in. And I think that's where we really felt strongly about when we talk about leveraging self and really owning and understanding your true values, where I would sort of, if I was in a role, whether it was professionally or personally, I would go down this other path where it's like, this is what they really want me to be like. This is how they want me to show up. This is how they want me to. And it was even, you know, how I looked, how I dressed, how I acted. I wasn't owning that part. And so I think that this is one of the practices that we feel is so critically important, because what it does when you're not doing that, it just robs you of all this joy. It sucks it out of you. You're feeling, and we talk about not feeling in the groove. You talked about it today when you know that, okay, I need to step out. I need this 15 minutes to do whatever. But it does truly rob you of that soul-satisfying joy in your life when you're not really living your true value system.
That's so true. I mean, I'm so glad you said that. I feel like, you know, work should be fun. Like, I often, my boyfriend and I, we talk, and he always says, you know, Samantha, some people, they have to go to work, and some people get to go to work. He's mm-hmm. like, you're a get to go to work kind of woman. And I feel like if there are moments where that's not happening, I have to dig in and learn more, because I get to go to work. I get to show up. Mm-hmm. I get to have an input, a seat at the table, and I get to influence really wonderful things that can, mm-hmm. you know, change people's lives. And I'm really proud of that. But that in and of itself should be the challenge. The challenge shouldn't be me trying to fit in or me trying to be what other people want me to be. And so I think, you know, if I could give a bit of advice to any woman listening to this, is try to give yourself that space to own who you are, no matter where you are. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be rude or disrespectful or whatever, but there is a space for you to be who you are, your authentic you, and it should be a space where you can be comfortable and free, because then you lead better, you perform better, right? And you're not feeling like you're under the microscope and someone's watching you. I think you already have a tough job. If you have to worry about mm-hmm. how people are going to see you or trying to pretend to be something to please others, that's an added stress exactly. that takes away from you being successful.
And takes your energy. So, you know, we underestimate how much energy it takes to just try to be something you're not. Whereas if you're in your own skin and you're in this flow space, then you're able to take your energy and contribute it to the world and to get better at whatever it is you're doing or whoever it is you're working with, or energy to try to develop a more positive relationship mm-hmm. with someone as you, not as what they might expect you to be.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Samantha, talk a little bit about, you know, so you shared these stories of these women and some of the values that you have clearly carried through your life, like, I'm going to be bold, I'm going to set a high standard for myself, I'm going to continue to dig in and do the work. What were some other values that you started to, like, accept for yourself when you became a woman and, you know, we're starting into your professional life? And what were things that you said, okay, I'm bringing all of this with me, but here are some things I'm going to add in now that are more just directly me as separate from all of these other women that influenced me?
Well, I think one of the things that I've really started to embrace about myself is my me time. So I'm that person who could be working till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And sometimes I can put in an enormous amount of work. And very early in my career, I found myself doing that. Like, I'd be in the office sometimes till 2 in the morning. I just got to get through. I got to power through, come to work the next day, do the same thing. And folks around me would be like, wow, that's amazing. They weren't stopping me, right? No one's going to say stop and take a break. No, you need time for yourself. Nope. They were like, wow, keep going. Let's see how long you can do it. And there came a point where some things happened in my life. I lost my dad. I lost my grandma. And I lost my stepfather almost back to back. And in that moment, I knew that I needed to take a break, and I actually started running, and I decided I was going to train myself to do a marathon. And it was the most amazing experience because, so when you're training for a marathon, you do, you know, different cycles, like 6 miles this mm-hmm. day, 7 miles another day, but you always have that one day, which was your long run. And so my long run was Sundays. And on Sundays, I would make myself food because I knew I was going to be exhausted when I came back. So I'd have my little peanut butter and banana sandwich ready and waiting on the counter. And I didn't run with a group intentionally because this was my moment. And I would say a prayer because I knew this was going to be a stretch. You know, if it's 10 miles or 12 miles, it would be the first time I would have run that far and I'd be doing it alone, but I was going to do it. And I would take that time, get ready, get outside, turn on my music, and I would just go. And I would be in a zone and lost in my own thoughts. I would see people running. I would see people talking. And I just embraced every bit of it. I took it all in. And it became such a point where, like, I needed it. It was my therapy, going through that sort of loss and missing people and just the hurt and all those things. I needed time to clarify. And that meant I couldn't work till 3 a.m. every day or whatever it was I was doing. I needed to have that moment to heal. And that's what I did.
That's an amazing bit of advice. That's really...
Well, then you just learned about yourself to say, okay, I'm not going to be at my best self. Yes, I can do this till 2, 3 a.m, but am I at my best self in that space? No. Mm. And that's where we start to veer off. Sure, you can power through for a short amount of time. We've all done it.
Yep.
There's certain obligations in life, whether that's around your family or your work or your parents or, you know, whatever it is that you're up to that you have to power through. But as a sustained way of being that expresses your true self, you learned that I can't do that.
And you need it to heal.
Yeah.
You know, which is an important part where you actually recognize that. How many times do we tamp that down and think, I'm really tough, I can handle this? But for you to recognize that you needed that time for not just for you, but it was a healing process for you as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to be honest, I went and I saw a therapist who helped, you know, encourage me. It was hard to do the first time because I do think I'm a strong woman, but like in a positive way. And so, you know, having to humble myself and talk to someone and actually think about how I could get through this really, really hard time. And it was hard because I was hurting, but my mom was hurting too. So I couldn't lean in on her to support me. Mm-hmm. I felt I needed to support her. And so it was just a very different dynamic for me and not having like grandma there who was like my go-to. So if mommy wasn't there, the next phone call would be to grandma, right? And it's just trying to get through a new normal. And I did it and I keep doing it because it doesn't go away, but you just learn how to, that's the one you learn how to power through.
But do you think like you were doing it as a way to heal yourself and step back, but you also today have articulated that now it came to a new understanding of your values of what you have to do for me time.
Yeah.
In the good and the bad, that I have to have me time no matter what. That's just part of who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I do find myself like in this headspace where I'm working really hard and my body starts to tell me like, hey, hey woman, I need you to slow down and like take good care of me. I recognize that and I give myself that moment just like I gave myself that moment. And it's really good too because you remember. Like sometimes I remember those long runs. I remember that moment and it reminds me of how good it felt and why I have to give myself that time too. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I think, I think that this time has just been really inspiring for us.
I'm just sitting here like,
well. So we're like, whoa.
Okay, I wish I would have known all this when I was her age.
Exactly.
And that's part of what we're doing.
Yes.
Is trying to help women get it earlier.
Yes.
And through stories like this.
Through stories. And also to be able to look to people like you who, and I know we're all, you're going to take a lot of, you know, it's going to be a circuitous path is what I like to say through life. But I think you have given so many nuggets of inspiration for anybody who's going to listen, as well as you did for us. So I really, truly want to thank you for giving us a part of the true, authentic you and yourself.
So. And you know what? We can feel it, yeah. Samantha. Yeah. It's like, you know, to our listeners, like you can't see her in this, but she is emanating a personal wholeness that mm-hmm. is embracing and warm, and it draws you in because mm-hmm. she's truly who she is. Yeah. And that's what we want for everyone.
Authentic. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are so kind. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on our show, Samantha. You know, what we want to ask women out there that might be listening is, you know, are you in touch with the strong roots of your true self? And are they something that help to motivate and drive you and grow your influence? So we want to leave you with that today. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Influential She. We hope you'll join us again. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.